No one gives a shit.
What?
No one gives a shit. No one gives a shit.
No gas podcast.
No gas podcast.
Bro, what are you talking about, man?
No one gives a shit. No one gives a shit.
Hey, baby.
No.
In this episode, we got Richie Redding, veteran comic from Pennsylvania, who started in the mean streets of Philly at the Laugh House, same place as Kevin Hart. Now, Philly's infamous for his crazy, notorious fans. I mean, even when they win the Super Bowl, they still eat horse shit to celebrate. So that should tell you how hard it was for this guy to develop his act, especially being a white guy performing in front of mostly urban crowds. But he honed it to perfection enough to gain the attention of the micro mini pimp himself, Mr. Cat Williams, who dragged him along on tour to open for him in front of tens of thousands of fans. He currently resides in New York City, where him and his hot veterinarian girlfriend, Dr. Lisa Littman, host a successful podcast called Pets and Punchlines. And you've seen him on some of your other favorite podcasts, and now you're about to hear him on your least favorite of them all. No one gives a shit. Also, local Miami comic Manny Garavito sits in. No gas, bitch. All right. No One Gives a Shit podcast. We're back with Mr. Richie Reddy.
Yeah, dude.
What's up, man?
I'm pumped.
Glad to have you here.
I love the name. No
Thanks,
One Gives
man.
A Shit. Yeah.
That's the level of career I'm in right
My
now.
My business so. Card, if he, whenever I'm like handing out cards after a show, it it says, "Who the fuck is Richie Redding?" on it.
Yeah,
because like...
Here it's black, but over here it's showing.
Like is the red dot? Is the red dot on?
Yeah.
So it's recording. Yeah, that's fine.
As long as it's showing up there.
Yeah, as long as it's showing up there.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. Right. You good?
Yeah. All
right. As you can see, no one gives a shit. This is why no one gives a shit. Because we have issues like this still.
I mean, he kind of gives a shit.
Yeah, no, of course.
But, dude, congrats on being as racially ambiguous as you could possibly be. I mean, I would lose money on this one for sure. I don't know what's happening there.
My cameraman, that's Chico. He's of Chilean descent, but he dresses straight like Bone Thugs and Harmony. He doesn't want to let it go. I try to tell him all the time to try to, you know, let's go to H&M. I got something fitted for you that I think you'd like, and it's just not happening.
But so we could have gone on for at least 20 minutes before I got to Chilean.
Where would you say?
Oh, man, I don't know.
There's a little Middle Eastern in there, right?
Yeah, there's like something Afghani happening. You got those eyes. He's got
the eyes and the beard.
He's got something between a turban and a...
And the fatigues.
And a do-rag slash
like he's ready
hat.
For war.
Yeah, but he's got the death row shirt. But, man, yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot going on there. Cisco, I appreciate you.
But, you know, what I appreciate is that he hasn't changed. You know, that's one admirable way of thinking about it. You know, he hasn't changed since 1992.
Yeah.
Really.
No skinny jeans on that motherfucker.
Never.
No, sir.
Keeping it real.
Fatigue shorts to the
low
day
and
dies,
Lee, low and Lee's pocket camo. Thank you for your service.
Yes. All right. Let's try to do this again. No One Gives a Shit podcast. Richie Redding, straight out of New York, man. What a pleasure it is to have you here, man. You're a very well-respected comic, very funny, and you toured with Cat Williams for a bunch of shows.
Yeah, like 160 shows.
That's awesome. And Manny Garavito.
Well, you should have introduced me first, then Richie Redding.
Why?
I feel like it was okay the way we did it.
Yeah. Okay.
No, as soon as... If I would have said Manny Garavito first... By the time I said Garrick, people would turn it off.
Oh, right? True that.
You know, Richie Redding, at least.
I think we should have kept the racial awkwardness that we had before. I was...
Keep that.
I was a big fan of that. That's
put it on a Patreon.
Yeah, I mean, if there's one thing that people know after they come to my shows, I'm racially inappropriate. So.
For sure. You know what I'll do? I'll edit a picture of Chico in it.
Right.
And why is he saying it? So people know what the
Yeah, I actually have there's a few episodes of it up on YouTube. I have this this trivia game that I invented called Ratchet Ass Trivia.
Yeah.
And he would have been great for it, that there's a game in it called Guess That Race. And but what I the game is that I read you a true crime and you have to guess the race of the guy that did it.
Yeah. Sounds like a horrible, like offensive game.
Yeah, but so people love it. Like it's super fun to play. But it definitely got me thrown out of Esquire Network.
Oh, boy.
We were pitching it, and it was going great.
You pitched this?
I pitched a company
called Esquire Network?
Yeah, it's supposed to be an all-male network. It's like the upscale male network.
Did you try Lifetime?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bitch! Make that's me like, something to eat! Yeah.
Who did you pitch to next? Own?
Yeah. Yeah, Oprah loved it. But yeah, they so it's like it's the network for dudes, and they sent in like six millennial women to play the game. And it was killing before we got to the final round. And I mean,
what was the last question?
It was like now it's time for Guess That Race, and the woman that was clearly in charge just went no. And I was like, you don't want to play this round? She's like, no. I was like you're really definitively saying no. She's like, it's a pass.
Like, dude, I have a job to get back to.
It felt like I have a buddy that did this thing where he finished by dropping his drawers. That was like his big finish when he first started off, and it used to kill in a black room. And this one time he just didn't do anything, so he just had to like quietly pick up his pants to a total disaster. That's what it was. It was just like, I'm just going to tuck my dick away.
He has that blush face. Was he white too?
Oh, blush? Yeah. Bright red.
Oh, man. That's the worst. That's the worst. How many of those Cat Williams shows did you bomb? I mean, if you bombed at all, like, I'm sure you took your best of the best.
No, I didn't catch any L's while I was on the road. I mean, you're just throwing speedballs. There was a situation once where a dude tried me, you know. So the second show that we did, or I'm sorry, the second tour, it was like 35 cities or something like that, and he was putting on a local guy in every show, and we counted, we like went back and figured it out. I think 31 dudes got booed off stage. Yeah, because it would be like the host would do well, so they knew what good was, and then it's like, all right, we got this local dude who's gonna come out, and I mean, just so many boo, and we're talking 5,000 people, and the anatomy of a boo is that one or two dudes boo, and then everybody kind of. They taste it, and it's like, and they decide if they're with that guy or this guy, right. You know. And I was doing really well. It was in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Nice.
And boo, get the fuck off the stage! And immediately, like, I didn't even give it time for everybody to be like, to savor it. And it was like, nope, stop, lights on now. And, like, I knew the guy that operated the lights, and there's this one guy who's like, who was it? And they all, like, pointed this dude and just fucking lit this guy up for, like, 2 minutes, and that stopped it. But it was definitely, like, that moment, shit gets really real, real fast.
Oh, yeah. Man. And what, by the time you were done, he just sat down and was, like, laughing about it?
Thank God the dude was, like, he looked like a piece of shit, like... I can't imagine what it would be if it's just like, you know, it's this baller. He's like sitting next to some fucking babe. Yeah. But no, it was like, luckily it was like, dude, you're in Old Navy hand-me-downs. Fuck you and the fat white bitch that bought your ticket. You fucking piece of shit. You're bald with cornrows, motherfucker.
That's funny.
Bald cornrows. You got bald rows. You're missing some corn, man. Yeah.
Should we play Guess That Race for this guy?
I think I kind of gave it away, but. You had me at fat white girl.
Right, exactly. We know who loves them. But that leads me to my next question, dude. You're pretty hood. You know, you look like one of the little rascals grown up, but like you're pretty hood. Where'd you get your G pass from?
Little rascals.
Yeah, well, thank you for that.
No, compliment for sure.
Yeah, this hat's actually covering up a cowlick. I'm going to have that cowlick until I'm bald. Like, it's like, oh, I wish I had my cowlick back. Yeah, it's a good question, man. I grew up, like, as white as possible.
In Jersey?
Yeah, in South Jersey, on the edge of a polo field. That's how white.
Yeah. Cowlick and polo already.
I was on the rowing team. That's why I went to an Ivy League school.
Like, UPenn.
I mean, yeah.
Not Penn State.
Not Penn State. Okay. That's right. No child molesters. So when I started off doing comedy, I was in Philly and I didn't have a car. There was two clubs, and this the Burbs Club you needed a car to get to, and the Hood Club you didn't. Wow. And it was a mile away, so I'd walk to that all the time. And the reason that I kill black rooms and that I've always done really well in them is that I don't try to be that dude. You know, like, I'm not trying to convince you that we had the same upbringing. Like, okay. It's a fish out of water.
Yeah.
But I'm really observant, and I know about your culture. You know, that okay. That's what it is.
Wow. And you started in Philly, dude?
Oh, yeah, dude. I started at the same place that Kevin Hart started, actually, the Laugh House. It's notorious.
Notorious.
Yeah. And so being there, like, I wasn't a good writer yet, but, like, you really learn how to perform.
Yeah.
Because you have 10 seconds. That's what it is. I call it the 10-second rule. Like, if you're a white dude, especially going up in that room, yeah. It's like tick, 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 tick.
Wow.
Tick,
and did you that, kind of, like, figure that out quick?
Yeah. The best advice I got doing comedy was the first night when I went up, I was sweating bullets, a little bit cooked up. And I had this manuscript that I was trying to, like, hit every word of, basically. And yeah, it was midnight on a show that started at 8 o'clock. It was a disaster, and there was this pro comic there that, like, saw me just, you know, he knew I, like, took a hard one. He's like, dude, give it 5 times. If you're not getting laughs by 5 times, go join a band. And I took that really seriously. So I ate shit the second time, and then the third time I got laughs because, like, I just completely changed everything I was doing.
Okay. Wow. There's some people who do that. Like, Neil Brennan comes to mind, too. That he just kills in black rooms, too, like urban rooms, too. People just love him.
Yeah.
You know, and I think you nailed it right there, where you don't try to relate like you had the same upbringing. I think that's fucking very important little factor in your, even if it's so minuscule, small detail.
I think urban rooms are just, they have a really good authenticity radar.
Yeah.
They
Manny,
know.
Manny, I don't
Did
know.
You remember that Manny was here?
I just wanted to put in my 2 cents.
No, that's actually that's dead on. Like, they smell bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the dude that goes up, like, what's up, y'all?
Right.
I'm Chilean, but I dress like this. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm about to say the N-word in 2 seconds. Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Do you announce it or?
Wait for it, y'all. Brace yourselves.
It's coming. You can already see it's coming.
Yeah. But yeah, and you know, I learned to, like, really have fun on stage in those rooms. That a real important lesson that I learned very early on was this dude took it was this comic that he had been on all the BT stuff, and he brought me down to Virginia Beach for 2 shows back to back. He was headlining, and he gave me like $100 a show or something like that, and I was, like, in a sports coat, and this is my first time. And I took it real seriously, and, like, I was, like super tight about exactly the material I was going to do, and took an L, and he pulled me aside afterwards. He was like, why did you get into comedy? And I was like, I always wanted to do it. It's like, no. Why? Why do you want to make money doing this?
Oh, it was a legit question. He wasn't asking, like, sarcastically.
No. It was like, because I want to get paid to have fun. Right. He's like, did you just have fun? He's like, nah, it sucked. He's like, well, fucking go have fun. And that was it. And, like, 100% of the time, if I'm doing well, I'm having fun. And when if I catch a slow set, it's because whatever my mindset was like, this is going to suck. And go up and, like, don't sell it and don't have fun with it.
Do you like seeing the crowd before you get on? I mean, that's how it usually is, right?
Like, I like to watch them a little bit, especially, you know, if I'm headlining and it's a guy I don't know, I just want to make sure that he's not, like, you know, if there's something that's really similar.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I look at the crowd for at least, like, 2 minutes before I go out, usually, just to see what kind of goofy shit is going on.
Okay, speaking of goofy shit, what do you think of Manny's act?
I don't think I've actually seen
he's
you.
He's never seen me.
Yeah. No, talk to the mic. Well, yeah, he's gonna be a co-host of mine. You gotta talk to the mic. Talk to Manny.
Where's the check? What do you mean co-host?
Whoa, that is loud.
Yeah, he's either very far or too close, making out with the mic now.
Checks in the mail.
I'd imagine he's funny.
Oh, you haven't even seen
it. You must have a really good imagination. No, man, I'm good.
No, of course I'm fucking with you. You are good. I like what you're doing. I like what Manny does. What? So you haven't seen his joke?
No. I didn't. I performed at his show. We did a Valentine's Day show.
Right. That's
at the Craftsman.
Guys,
okay. Yeah, and that was fun.
And as soon as they mentioned my name, he just stepped outside.
Oh wow! Business call. We got another business call with the LOL network.
I forgot about that. Yeah. Well, I tend to smoke a stogie after a big show, so.
Yeah, it was a late show I got on, I think.
So, you know, I would like to see my friend Manny perform, but okay. Got this Arturo Fuente.
That's a little backstory. Stogie fan over here. Kyle was the one, or was it Verzi? It was Kyle, I think.
Kyle Brooms, our friend.
Yeah, told him that I had a girl I know that brought a whole bunch of cigars. Uh-huh. What brand were they?
She smuggled them in her pussy.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, it's a
big Cohibas. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. Cohibas. Original Cohibas rolled in Cuba. And
smelled great.
Yeah. We had all like 20, 30 of them, and we were giving out to comics that we had a good run of. And the last like five I had, he picked up. And I went to a Cat Williams show at the James Hall Night Center, handed it to him. Hung out and we just hit it off, and then we went to do that Valentine's Day show. That's how we met. And
yeah,
then, so awesome. He went outside to smoke a stogie. When I went up on stage, he's like, "Oh, I missed it." Nah, well, all right. Anyway, I gotta go up now.
Oh,
just next time.
Well, no. When I'm coming off of stage with all that adrenaline and shit, I just like.
It was awesome, man. That show was a brand new peak in the kind of shows that I was able to produce, because
you killed
it was too. No, I mean I kill it often, not to brag, but I'm talking about production wise and attendance wise and energy wise.
You killed the promotion of that.
Yeah, that
for sure.
Show was magic. It was really good.
Yeah, that late one especially.
I think we could have even done four if we really like put in an extra 10%, because everybody was in the market looking for someone, and it was just right on time that this guy was in town for Valentine's.
Nice.
You were there for like 2 days, right?
Yeah, and we did that on like 2 weeks' notice too.
Yeah, right? Yeah, we pieced it all together.
Yeah, because I'm the kind of comic that whenever I have to do something that's not comedy, I'm just like, fuck. Like last year, it was like, 7 day trip to Aruba. Like, just make it six. Like, oh god, no comedy. And so I basically like folded that I had to be down here for Valentine's Day, and I hit him up like, dude, I at least need to do a spot. And he's like, let's do this Valentine's Day show. So, sweet.
Nice. You don't talk to this guy Aruba Ray over there? Doesn't he have a comedy room over there?
Yeah, I did not do it.
No.
But yeah.
Okay. But you know,
good pool though. Yeah.
Yeah, I hear his name often with the seller crowd and all that. It leads me to my next question. You went to UPenn.
Yeah.
What the hell were you studying before that made you want to do comedy? I mean, you did rowing, so.
Yeah. Political science was my major, but I was actually – I was really fascinated by economics, and I like poli-sci, but I didn't really care about it. I just did that as something to graduate with.
Okay.
Yeah. It was mostly – strong focus on alcoholism and rowing, and
like as a guinea pig for it. Or
yes,
a study?
Yes. Oh, okay, yeah. Self experimentation, yeah.
Right? Had nothing to do with the actual studies.
No,
right.
I definitely like crossed the threshold of being an alcoholic in college, and then drank for like another 10 years afterwards. But
oh wow,
yeah, I've been sober for 10 years now.
Oh really? Oh, you stopped?
Mm-hmm.
You just stopped? All right, cool. Congratulations, man. That's cool. That's cool. Did you finish school? You got your degree and all that?
I mean, I didn't finish on time.
Oh, but you finished.
But so here is, if you need to know anything about drinking me versus sober me, is okay. That so I should have graduated in 2000. In 2008 was when I stopped drinking, and after 89 days of not drinking, I managed to graduate from college, which had been 12 years in the making.
Hey,
so it's like if you need a sign from God, you know, it's like, well.
Hey, you did it though, man. That's cool. So you have that at least in your back pocket, and you could say you finished it. So
yeah,
that's cool. But as far as your comedy career now, you've been going full throttle, you'd say for what, over 10 years?
Yeah, I mean, I've been full time for 8 years, I guess.
8 years?
Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah, man, just grinding hard, and I've got my funny way up, and I'm pumped about this thing that I'm doing tonight, this album.
Yeah, you're gonna be at the Comedy Inn.
Yeah, the Comedy Inn. Basically, just tired of waiting around for these motherfuckers to come and give me a special. That
I applaud that.
Industry is so afraid of a guy like me that does completely. It's like, you have white privilege, you're cisgendered, and you're talking about other cultures. Like, they're so radioactive to do inappropriate comedy right now, right. And they're giving specials to fucking Nanette to just yell at men. good God, have you seen these Netflix specials?
I have.
Releasing 47 specials in one day from the Just for Laughs?
Yeah, I have a buddy that's doing it, but thank God they need to make up for that shit, because it's like it's kind of like watching MTV circa like 2010. Like, did you know 99% of human beings are gay? Did you know that? Like, every fucking comic is gay.
Yeah, yeah.
They're all trans. It's all this shit. Like, you know, there's actually just like normal ass people that are really fucking funny.
Of course, yeah. Of course, and I know that they try to polish it. Because once I saw on Netflix that they had a rant comedy category, I was like, oh, dude, this is what's going on here? What does Netflix think they're doing? But at the same time, I get it, you know?
Yeah.
As far as marketing.
That's exactly what it is. Mean? It's and, like, you just say a label something like this person is a transgendered comedian. People just jump on board that are interested.
No, they don't.
I mean, if they're funny. Like, I saw one the other day. Sanjay. Have you seen the Sanjay one?
Sam Jay,
yeah.
Yeah.
She's pretty funny.
Yeah, she's funny.
Yeah,
she's funny. For sure funny. Yeah. But, like, when you're just putting the agenda first, you know?
That's
what I mean. Like,
that's what it's all about today.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
People put the agenda to market the special, and then the special then markets the comedian.
Right.
Or the festival, but or the fundraiser, or the show itself.
But, I mean, have you seen, like, not HuffPo reviews of these fucking specials?
No.
Like,
yeah,
I hear
it all the time on the
just
on the
normal people
circuits.
Are like, dude, this is dog shit. They're putting out dog shit.
I mean, it's go-to jokes, you know? Like you said, they just have the white girl or the woman, the strong woman ranting on men. But I get it. They polishing it. But I think it has its time, and I think it'll pass.
There's going to be an adjustment to it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like,
and it doesn't make them less deserving, I don't think, you know. As far as like the Rachel Feinstein. No, really.
No, I like Rachel.
Yeah, yeah. But her special, I've seen her way funnier.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I know that she had to probably get approval from the Netflix
people. That's what sucks.
About her what sucks about
her. I think she was Comedy Central. But
yeah,
that sucks. Right. But she's on the Netflix.
She has one of those also.
Very polished, but you know, it doesn't make them less deserving, but it'll pass, like what you just said.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I'm trying to do tonight. Like, the first one, I'm going to make sure that I get the material. The second show, I'm definitely going to be looser and have a little more fun with it.
Yeah, good. No, yeah. I'm super happy, and I always advise people to do their own thing. I mean, I've gone broke buying a bunch of camera equipment and all this stuff you see here.
Yeah.
Basically, because my angle is, I'm a huge comedy fan. I don't want to be a comic because it seems like the life sucks. No offense to you two. But I do want to help.
You get it.
I do want to help. Like, I shot something for Kyle when he did his comedy taping at the
Love
Comedy
Love Kyle Grooms, dude.
I set up two 4K cameras, and we shot it, and he sends that video over to the producers of The Tonight Show, you know, all these late-night shows. So stuff like that. You got to do it yourself, man.
Yeah.
And if somebody wants to buy it, great. If or somebody sees it, likes it enough to say, hey, let's we'll give you a bigger budget here. And then you give it to me, of course. Don't go nowhere else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. You give me, I'll get the Reds. I'll get the top-level cameras to really shoot it on a professional production level.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it, man. It's we got to come together when it comes to this type of stuff. Because you guys are the guys, especially you. And Manny's going to be, he's not the guy yet. But you guys are the guys, dude. You know what I mean?
By
the guys, like Norton. You're going to be that soon.
Yeah, I mean, there's no quit in me, and like
I really don't appreciate you saying that on a podcast.
Thank you. I'm not I was waiting guys. For that. I was waiting.
I'm sure they'll edit that out.
No, that's gonna be part of the trailer snippet. That's what that's gonna be.
But yeah, man, I'm pumped about it, and it's gonna be a good one.
Yeah, good. All right, so the LOL Network, that Kevin Hart stuff. You're nothing in stone yet, but.
Well, no, I mean, it's funny that I didn't my agent shit the bed, and I didn't get an audition this year for JFL, and was basically ready to shit can the guy, and just out of nowhere got a call from JFL saying like, "Hey, would you like to be part of this nice. Year's TV taping?" Like, fuck yeah. Well, first thing I said was like, "You fucking with me? Who is this?" Dave, is that you? So yeah, like basically just completely went around the whole system.
So you're getting awesome. A taping, and you're doing the recording tonight, and you're getting a taping.
Yeah, so I'm doing an hour tonight, and then I've got this 8-hour set.
There you go.
Yeah.
8-hour set?
I'm sorry, 8-minute set. Sorry. Oh, okay.
Okay, filibuster set.
Yeah, so my agent's assistant hit me. It was like, "Hey, we need to get a breakdown of what your set material is going to be," because they try to like clump people together to make sure that there's nobody like stepping on stuff.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Can you just give me we don't need a transcript yet. Just give me the titles of your jokes." And I literally sent back two things. It's Trump. Sodomy. And he was like, "Haha, really funny." I was like, "No, seriously, it's Trump and sodomy. That's all I'm talking about."
That's hilarious. Yeah. And they okayed it? They greenlit it? They're all right.
Yeah, yeah. It's awesome. There's no language restrictions on it. So,
JFL is awesome. It's always been great. You know, so that's going to be super fun, Montreal.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome. I saw you were recently on the Anthony Cumia show.
Yeah.
That's cool. I subscribed for that when Artie Lang was on it.
Okay.
For like 10 minutes.
Yeah. But those crazy bastards. I mean, man, Artie needs to.
He's one of my favorites, dude. I mean, yeah. Who is it? You know, he's everybody's
love
favorite.
Love him, yeah. But the new guy, I always have a ton of fun when I go on that.
Yo, you've been on there several times.
Yeah. In Hot Water, I'm on more often. And me and my girl actually did their morning show together.
That's with, what's the guy's name? Not the morning one, right? The Dave.
Dave Schultz. Yeah.
Right, okay. Yeah, they got this new guy, Dave Land, out there. That he's fucking super funny.
Yeah, he's great.
He's out of nowhere type of funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was thinking about staying subscribed, but I was broke.
With yeah, all this equipment,
so I had to stop. But how was that? Like, you like going on to the compound? That's like your crowd. Or
I love those guys. I hate their fans.
Really?
But every time, like, when they announce that I'm going to be on it, every time before I get to the studio, I have to block, like, six guys.
Really?
Yeah.
Just, like, calling you out, heckling you online?
What do they do? What do they say?
It's just it's basically just the dregs of the Opie and Anthony Reddit page,
right.
Which is like notorious trolls.
Notorious.
And yeah, it'll just be some shitty comment that I don't even fuck around with. If I don't know you, like, you know, if we know each other, yeah, let's break balls all day.
Right.
But it's like, "Oh, you shouldn't be on the show because of bing, blocked." Yeah. I was actually really worried about it when my girl was on, but Dave's show isn't, or Bill Schultz.
Bill Schultz, right.
It's not as, they're not as ravenous, but like, so she's Jewish, and it's such a, like, there's so much anti-Semitism
with
fans and stuff. Oh, holy my God, dude.
Shit,
yeah.
Dude. That's freaking
up. There's a lot of miserable people out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I want to plug this. I have, my podcast is, it's, sounds super weird, but it's super funny.
Pets and Punchlines.
Pets and Punchlines. It's comics with pets talking to vets. It's the dumbest and best idea I've ever had.
Yes. It sounds interesting, though. It's new.
Yeah, it's just a super non-narcissistic interview.
It's you and your girlfriend, who's a veterinarian.
Yeah, my girlfriend's a veterinarian who has an absolutely depressing amount of followers.
Really?
Yeah, she has like 122,000 followers.
Wow, that's pretty good. I mean, it's... Yeah. Into that dog culture, I guess.
Kitties and titties, baby.
So
yeah, we do this show together where it's just comics talking about their pets, and it's surprisingly very funny and educational. Yeah. But I just make it's all about dicks and shit.
It's on every platform, right? It's on. Mm-hmm. You guys do taping? You tape it too, or just strictly?
One
audio?
Occasion we will, but okay. It's mostly just audio.
All right, cool. Yeah, going back to that comment stuff. You're not at that level where you just pretend you don't see comments,
And
just leave them.
No, for the most. I mean, if it's something that's like nasty, like if it's something funny, I'll engage. I'll absolutely engage. But if something shitty, like just fuck you, just you're blocked. Yeah. I mean, blocks are pretty easy.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not like I got to go to the post office and be like, "Stop sending letters." Yeah. This guy. Fuck yeah.
It just always intrigued me because a lot of times. The hate is what really blows you up sometimes, you know?
Can be, yeah.
Can be. That's an interesting like factor. And people who engage in the hate and not the love, like I always find that intriguing. So, and you know, sometimes people just leave it on there.
Yeah.
Just well, like they're too big to respond.
Actually, speaking of Opie and Anthony, of Kumia, that on Race Wars, I got
Sherrod Small.
Smalls, yeah. I got into like a 10-minute debate. Well, yeah, kind of an argument with Anthony Kumia about illegal immigration.
Oh, and, that's a long show.
And I got more responses from that from strangers than I ever have. I got like 50 messages from people like, "Yo, you held him to the fire."
Really?
Yeah, because I know my shit. Like, yeah. I know what I'm talking about. I have the poli-sci background, but like, you know, I don't read stuff for fun. Like, I read stuff so I can win arguments. like, just laid into him. So, wow. Yeah, and actually, I got a bit out of that, which is what I'm probably going to be doing on JFL.
Nice, yeah. Nice. I think that's a character he's built, because I really think he's hilarious. He's one of my favorites.
Yeah,
you know, and I feel bad, like that he's one of my favorites just because of that persona that he has to be at this point. But I think he's a nice guy.
Yeah, and well, I mean, respect look, his
patriotism.
There's definitely a moment while we were doing it that there was like I stepped back for a second, like I'm really arguing with Anthony Cumia right now on air, and I was kind of like, oh, is this gonna be okay? And right after it, he's like, that was fucking great radio,
right?
But
right,
yeah, exactly. And but a thing that I said, I was like, is he was trying to be like, oh, but they're coming here illegally. Like, no, it's not about laws. It's like, just fucking own it. Say, I don't like these motherfuckers.
Right, exactly. I'm afraid of them.
Whatever it is, I respect you more if you just be like, I am racist towards these people, than to try to find a dozen ways to dress this thing up, to put lipstick on this pig that's not like, you know, it's like, they don't look like me. Fuck them.
Right.
Okay. Exactly. Okay, that's if that's where you are, because then there's no debate, right? Yeah. It's not like oh well, I can tell you we can change the laws and I can tell you what's really up. It's like, no, this is unmovable. You were set in stone. Yeah. You're afraid. You don't like him. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, drunk uncle.
Right. Yeah. He's like Italian too. He's not even full white. Like he's Italian. His dad raised him that way, and I think he knows what it takes to make good radio. And
yeah.
I think. I would love to hear that. That was on
it was a fun one.
Yeah, on Race Wars then.
Yeah.
Dude, I gotta check that one out then. What other podcasts besides your own? Or who's the best, like, do you guys have guests on your podcast, the pet ones? Or or they just call in?
I don't know. I hate doing call ins. Yeah, I mean, we've had actually an episode that got a crazy amount of hits was actually a call in, but it was the guy that started We Rate Dogs.
We Rate Dogs.
Yeah. And very important that it's a T and not a P there, because it sounds a lot like We Rate Dogs. way less subscribers.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, he has a few million followers, but it's this 20-year-old kid that it started off, he was just going around taking pictures of people's dogs, posting pictures of it on Twitter, and it would be like 10 out of 10, like, you know, with some funny caption.
Right.
He now gets over 20,000 pictures a day from people that want their dog to be rated.
Wow.
And he has two, like, full-time employees whose job it is just to go through these pictures. And he's making well into six figures. He wouldn't tell me how much, but he's six figures.
This sounds like a millennial issue in a couple of years, that who are you to rate my dog?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh man.
You're so privileged.
Right.
Yeah. Check your dog privilege.
Mine is a rescue. It doesn't have control of what it breeds with.
Right. Well, and that is a thing, the intersection of millennial butt-hurtedness with the reality of a stand-up comedy show is fucking beautiful to see. Because, you know, it's people with their shitty, like, your shitty little comments, and my opinion matters more than everybody's, and I need you to hear me. I respect your opinion, but I just need you to hear me. Like, when
I'm a better person than you.
That's good.
Dude, it just happened that at the Grizzly Pear, which is a spot that I work out a lot in New York, and it was this chick was with a gay dude, and she was like totally on board. I didn't know that she had been shitty to everybody else. She was on board because I said something to that kid that got them, like, you know, on Team Richie.
Uh-huh.
And then I mentioned like this joke that mentions AIDS, and she shut down, right? And I just kept going, and then I pointed it, like, it was so obvious. I was like, yeah, really lost you on that AIDS thing, huh? And she's like, well, you know what? It doesn't matter, because Kavanaugh is going to be elected to the Supreme Court soon, and you guys are all just fucked. So you can all just fuck you, because Kavanaugh. And it was this thing that it was just like, are you serious? Like, it was just the most tone-deaf thing I've ever seen.
A left-wing mascot.
Right-wing.
Oh, right-wing mascot.
Yeah, okay. And, like, I just let it go for a second until finally, like, there was a spot where I could just be like, shouldn't you be calling the police on some black people trying to have a barbecue right now?
or crossing the street on the yellow light?
Yeah, it was just a kaboom.
She was probably a vegan, too.
Right, but it's that shit. Is this fucking guy a vegan?
Yeah, I think so.
Why you gotta, who are you motioning to?
You, aren't you a vegan?
I'm not a vegan.
Oh, okay. I thought you
saw me drinking water, you assume I'm vegan?
No, I just, you're skinnier than a toothpick. That's why.
Speaking
I
of which, I am starving.
Yeah, yeah. What do you like to eat?
We're gonna go get some tacos, man. That's a very non-vegan thing to eat.
Okay.
Yeah. But cool. Does that go against your? Because he was telling me he's keto.
I'm not keto anymore. This has been a whole thing.
This is a diet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So
what do you eat now?
All right. So I've been doing intermittent fasting for like 4 or 5 months now, which is why I haven't eaten since 8 p.m. yesterday. So I still eat like 2,500 calories, but it's pack it into a really small window.
Oh, okay.
But so my girl wanted to lose some weight, so she went to a doctor that she's like a doctor snob. So this doctor told her to do the keto diet, which is 75% fat, 20% protein, 5% carbs. So
and 100% weird.
Yeah.
So far.
So when you get into this state of ketosis, which it basically tricks your brain into, it's starving for carbs, so it starts burning fat as fuel. And you actually feel great. You're like super alert when you're in it. But I cook most of her meals, so I decided to do it too, just like sympathetically, basically. I'd like a pound to lose.
Sympathetically.
Yeah.
You're cooking sympathetically. How does that look? Is cooking up sympathetically?
Like, reflectively. I was to mirror is to sympathize. So I'm doing it for 3 months, and it's like, I get a physical coming up. I should get blood work done. Like, expecting this thing to just be a victory lap, right? Because it's like, all the science is in, ketosis, everything we know is wrong. Sugar is the enemy.
Right.
Drink fat. You know, so I'm piling like coconut oil and everything. I'm drinking, but like, dude, half a stick of butter in your coffee.
What?
Like, froth it up. It's delicious.
Is that a real thing?
800 calories. Yeah.
And how much cholesterol?
So
cholesterol's not bad anymore.
Yeah, that's the idea.
Yeah.
So, supposedly if you're in ketosis, you're running on fat, so you burn that shit off and it doesn't turn into cholesterol.
Okay.
But while we're there, I'm like, let's throw in an HIV test, because I've
been a busy month.
Well, no, look, I've been monogamous for 4 years, but I just always catastrophize, and I grew up in the 80s, and everybody had AIDS in the 80s. That's that, you know, you treated every patient's an AIDS patient, right? Yeah. And I tried to be responsible while I was out there fucking around, but there was quite a few broken condoms. nobody's finished. Nobody's stopping when the condom breaks. That's God's way of being like, yeah, you tried, right? Like, if you're playing football and your helmet pops off, finish the fucking play.
That's
right?
That's
like,
motherfucking right.
Hey, go until you hear that whistle. So I take the test on a Thursday. Friday at like 4 p.m., I get a call from the doctor's office saying the doctor had me reach out to you because she needs you to come in to discuss your results.
Oh, no.
And I was like, am I HIV positive? She's like, I don't have access to that, but I can't discuss results over the phone.
Oh, my God.
Get in as soon as you can. I'm like, motherfucker. So I spent the whole weekend with full-blown AIDS.
Looking up AZT.
Bruh, yeah. My T-cells were falling.
You were watching Dallas Buyers Clubs.
Right. I'm like, you know what? I did lose weight recently. And my girl keeps me. She's like, you okay? Like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine.
Right? You didn't tell her.
I can't tell this bitch about it. Because, look, I can't tell her I'm afraid that I've got full-blown AIDS. Because, first of all, she's a doctor. She's not going to buy some bullshit of like, oh, I got it from a toilet seat. Like, no. She's like, she knows there's some penetration right. involved. Like, oh, you don't remember when I got that blood transfusion in right. Liberia last year? No. She knows the whole story.
Oh, man.
So I get in there, and I'm a dead man walking. I was in my head. Like, because alcoholics are famous for, like, really obsessing over shit. And I'm like, didn't sleep the whole weekend. I get in there, and she's like, so I needed you to come in to discuss the fact that your cholesterol has tripled since last year.
And he went, thank God.
Yo, oh, I literally was like, oh! That's what I'm fucking talking about. She's like, no, your threat for having a heart attack is 6 times greater than it was last year. And I was just like, blah, 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 blah. I don't have AIDS. I don't have AIDS.
You want some coffee? I'm about to make a fresh pie.
So
a little stick of butter in there.
Yeah. So right. So I've stopped keto immediately, and I'm back to raw dogging, baby. We'll have some butt sex. yeah. But have fun if you guys are doing keto out there. Yeah. It's a great diet.
Sounds horrible, but. How was the conversation with your girl after that? Did you tell her, hey, I thought I had AIDS? And
she just found out.
Oh, wow. Oh, man.
Well, no. But that's the whole thing is that, like, if I have a heart attack, I can blame it on her for getting me on this goofy-ass diet.
Right.
But if I come up with the high five.
That's your fault. Right.
Mid-monogamy, I'm homeless, motherfucker. Right. Like, there's no sleeping on the couch. It's that's like, it. Get your shit. Get the fuck out.
She'd send a picture of you to that dog raider guy. Like, rate this fucking dog.
Yes, piece scumbag.
Man, what a story, dude. Keto. So what diet are you on now?
I've been a gluten-free homo for like 7 years, but low carb, moderate fat, moderate protein.
I never understood the gluten thing. What is that?
Yeah, it's dumb. Don't stop eating gluten unless you have an allergy.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it makes me stupid tired. It makes me tired and actually kind of dumb. Like I'm really foggy.
When you eat gluten?
Yeah.
Oh,
when you eat gluten.
Yeah.
But, like, everything has gluten, unless it says gluten-free, right?
Gluten-free means that it's certified gluten-free, but, like, if you eat rice, it's gluten-free. If you eat, you know, ice cream, unless it's got shit in it, it should be gluten-free. Like, there's stuff that should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just found out alcohol has gluten.
Some of it does, except for Tito's.
Right, because I just bought a gluten-free vodka, Stoli's. Mm-hmm.
Trying to fuck some white girls.
Right. You know. I love fucking white girls, dude. Yes, that's right.
You're never going to pull a black girl. I'll be, is this gluten free, dog?
Yeah, they don't give a fuck.
Oh, yeah, I got a girlfriend named Stolichnaya.
Stolichnaya.
You know Stolichnaya? Okay. But, dude, I got a rap, man. I'm fucking starving. Yeah,
dude, thank you very much for coming, Richie Redding.
Richie Redding.
At Richie Redding on Instagram. You're on Facebook,
all the stuff. Yeah.
And on .com, right?
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you so much for coming. You're going to be at the Miami Inn Comedy today, taping your special, whatever.
Yes, 3 months before this comes out, yes.
Right, 3 months.
But, and I'll be back in town, and come see me do stand-up. I'm real good at it.
Yeah, please. I definitely will. I might. How long are you in town for?
One night, baby.
Just tonight?
Can you come out at the 10 o'clock show? Still have some tickets. First one sold out.
Okay, cool.
We'll get you comps.
Thanks, man. Thanks, I appreciate that.
Get your broke ass.
Yeah. Manny Garavito, thank you so much for...
Thank you.
...coming through, and we're appreciate out. Chico.
Yes, sir.
The N-word. Drop it. Drop that.
Migos. No one gives a shit.